Since my mother had chosen our location, my father had picked our names. I would now be called Sally. My father was Anthony and my mother Claire. Isn't this fun? A new town and a new name. What a grand adventure. I had nightmares in the beginning. Terrible, terrible dreams where I would wake up screaming, "I saw something! I saw something!" "It's only a dream," my father would attempt to soothe me, stroking my back. "But I'm scared." "Hush. You're too young to know what scared is. That's what daddies are for." We didn't live amid palm trees and white sandy beaches. My parents never spoke of it, but as an adult looking back, I realize now that a PhD in mathematics couldn't very well pick up where he left off, especially under an assumed identity. Instead, my father got a job driving taxis. I loved his new job. It meant he was home most of the day, and it seemed glamorous to be picked up from school in my own personal cab. The new school was bigger than my old one. Tougher. I think I made friends, though I don't remember many specifics about our Florida days. I have a more general sense of a surreal time and place, where my afternoons were spent being drilled in self-defense for first graders, and even my parents seemed foreign to me. My father, constantly buzzing around our one-bedroom apartment, "What do you say, Sally? Let's decorate a palm tree for Christmas." "Yes, sir, we are having fun now." My mother, humming absently as she painted our family room a bright shade of coral, giggling as she bought a swimsuit in November, seeming genuinely intrigued as she learned to cook different kinds of flaky white fish. I think my parents were happy in Florida, or at least determined. My mother decorated our apartment. My father resumed his hobby of sketching. On the nights he didn't work, my mother would pose for him beside the window, and I would lie on the couch, content to watch my father's deft strokes as he captured my mother's teasing smile in a small charcoal sketch. Until the day I came home from school to find suitcases packed, faces grim. No need to ask this time. I went into my room on my own, grabbed Boomer, found my blankie, then retreated to the car and climbed in the back. It was a long time before anyone said a word. A family is a system. To this day, I don't know how many cities we lived in, or how many names I assumed. My childhood became a blur of new faces, new towns, and the same old suitcases. We would arrive, find the cheapest one-bedroom apartment. My father would set out the next day, always coming home with some kind of job: photo developer, McDonald's manager, sales clerk. My mother would unpack our meager belongings. I would be shuffled off to school. I know I stopped talking as much. I know my mom did too. Only my father remained relentlessly cheerful. "Phoenix! I've always wanted to experience the desert. Cincinnati! Oh, now this is my kind of town. St. Louis! This will be the place for us." I don't remember suffering any more nightmares. They simply went away or were pushed aside by more pressing concerns. The afternoons I came home and found my mother passed out on the sofa. The crash courses in cooking because she could no longer stand up, brewing coffee and forcing it down her throat. Raiding her purse for money so I could buy groceries before my father returned from work. I want to believe he had to know, but to this day, I'm not sure. It seemed, for my mother and me at least, the more we took on other names, the more we gave away of ourselves, until we became silent, ethereal shadows, following in my father's blustery wake. She made it until I was 14. Kansas City. We'd lasted 9 months. My father had risen to manager in the automotive department of Sears. I was thinking of going to my first dance. I came home. My mother, Stella, she was called then, was face down on the sofa. This time, no amount of shaking woke her up. I have a vague memory of racing across the hall, of banging on our neighbor's door.